2020. I always think of focus and vision and improved vision and improved focus. And I know last year and the last couple of years, we've always talked about being intentional with what we do. We've got a lot in store for us in 2020 in our lives, things that we don't even know are coming. Man, we've got to hold on for the ride. Amen. Got to hold on. Well, with that in mind, today's message is called Letting Go While Holding On. Because we've got to hold on for the ride, but we've got some things we've got to let go of. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18 is where we'll spend our time today. And in the setting, Jesus is preparing to leave the town. We've talked about some different parables to the people around. And he's preparing to leave, and there's a couple different gospel versions of that. But in one version it says, as he's preparing to leave, a rich young ruler came running up to him and fell down on his knees. That's important to note as we read this. And we're going to read out of Luke 20. But again, there's other gospel references to this message. The rich young ruler is what we know it as. And as we open this, open the story up. There's a couple different things I want us to pay attention to. So I'm going to give you a list of things to listen for and look for. And the first four things, just keep in mind, the ruler came to the right source as we read this story. The ruler came to the right source. The ruler asked the right questions is number two. So he knew what question to ask, and he asked the right question at the right source. Number three, the ruler received a second answer. After he asked his first answer, he got an answer. But number three is he received a second answer. And number four, the ruler at the end of the story was unwilling to change. Now within those four elements of the story, I want us to be conscious of three more things. We must believe and have faith. Number two, we must have a desire to be different. And number three, we must have action to be different. The willingness to let go. And our message title again, Letting Go While Holding On. One of the hardest things for us to do anytime we want to change any aspect of our life is that action step. Sometimes we can do the first action, but it's that second action. Well, I signed up for this. Well, did you go? Did you do? Did you participate? No, I got signed up. That was it. So it requires action and sometimes follow-up action. So as we read the story, we're going to read from Luke 18, verse 18 through 30, the story of the rich young ruler. And it reads like this. A certain ruler asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. Honor your father and your mother. All these I have kept since I was a boy," he said. When Jesus heard this, he said to him, "You still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When he heard this, he became very sad because he was very wealthy. Jesus looked at him and said, "How hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of God? Indeed, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for the rich to enter the kingdom of God." Those who heard this asked, "Who then can be saved?" And Jesus replied, "What is impossible with human beings is possible with God." And Peter said to him, "We have left all we had to follow you." "Truly I tell you," Jesus said to them, "no one who has left home or wife or brothers or sisters or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God will fail to receive many times as much in this age and in the age to come eternal life." Well, that's our text today. Just to clarify, this message today, this isn't about money. The rich young ruler, it isn't about money. I'm not talking about that necessarily. I'm talking about all those other things that we hold tight to. And in this story, he just happens to be holding on tight to his money. But for us, for 2020, for us to be different, we've got a whole lot of things we're hanging on to. It could be shopping, eating, possessions, vehicles, clothing. Well, Adam, that's about money. Okay. Anger, spite, jealousy, hurt, pride, offenses, indifference, judgment, lust, arrogance. Many of these things on Wednesday night we're studying as issues facing the church today. We hang on to those things. Let me be clear. Today's message isn't about money. This is about holding on and not letting go. And when I say hold on for 2020, I'm talking about hold on for the ride. I know back there in the back we talked about wanting to be a rodeo star in the past. Okay? You may have to hold on with one hand, but what do you have to do with the other one? Let it go. It's your balancing hand. So when I say hold on for the ride, you may have to hold on to one thing, but it's time to let go on another. I can't imagine trying to ride a bull with two hands like this. You got nothing to kind of balance you and wave around and do all that crazy stuff. And in the end, slap it when it runs past you, whatever. Okay? That's what we want to do in 2020. We want to be able to have a free hand to slap it as it goes past and say, woohoo, I made it. I rode that thing out. Okay? I know, crazy reference, isn't it? That's crazy. But anyway, that's what I'm talking about, though. We have to hold on for the ride. But in order to do that, sometimes we've got to let some things go. And those things may be people. We may have to let people go in our life that are not healthy for us. We may have to find new people and new ways. And there's always that challenge to find new people, but are they leading us to the right decisions? This follows several other parables. And again, as Jesus is getting ready to leave, we've got to think the guy's actions. So when we go back and break this down, it's his first interaction with Jesus. And he says, he runs up to him. So he's chasing Jesus down. He knows who he is. He has an awareness. And he says, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? So he knew the source. That was what we first talked about. He knew the source to go to. Let me go to this man. Let me ask a question. And this question, by the way, is a good question. Many of the people in Jesus' life were asking questions to what? Trip him up. To trick him. To get him to give an answer so they can say, aha! That goes against the law. This man's question was good intentions. His motive was pure. Man, what do I have to do, good teacher, to inherit eternal life? And in that first interaction, Jesus, he's heard Jesus, but now Jesus is speaking directly to him. He says, no one is good except God alone. I'm sorry, Jesus. I thought, obviously, as a teacher, you were good. And Jesus corrects him. And then he goes on to say, you know the commandments. And the young ruler says, but Jesus, what do I have to do? What do I have to do? And many of us here, we may know that answer, but I want us to go through the story to find out where it ties in with what we're hanging on to. What must I do to inherit eternal life? And he goes on to say, no one is good except God. And then he proceeds to tell him about the commandments. You know these commandments. You know about these things. You've kept them since you were young. Jesus throws that out there. And hey, you got to be sure and keep the commandments. Let's keep those up there at the top of the list, right? But this young man, obviously, in the questions he asked, I said earlier, it's a pure question. He obviously believed in life after death. Now that probably he was rich, he was wealthy, he was a ruler of some sort. This is a person of interest and power and leadership. Probably had a lot of dealings with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. But the Sadducees, they didn't believe in life after death. But this guy does, because he's saying, what do I have to do to get it? What do I have to do to earn it or inherit it? And that'll become key in just a minute. But what do I do to earn this? You see, I'm rich and I can pay for this stuff. What do I have to do? He obviously forgot what the prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah 64:6. Isaiah said, all of us have become like those who are unclean. What can I do to inherit eternal life? And all of our righteous acts are like filthy rags, Isaiah tells us. So all of a sudden he's like, oh, dang. My righteous acts as a rich young ruler aren't going to get me there. And Jesus answered him, let's go to verse 22 through 25. He said, you still lack one thing. And I'm sure at this point the rich young ruler is going, sweet, I've got them all but one. I've just got to do this one thing. Because Jesus said, you still lack just the one. The one thing. Sell everything you have. Now for this one thing, I'd say, okay, that could be it. But this seems to be like a run-on sentence, so to speak. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. So that one thing is actually a list of several things to do. And when he heard this, he became very sad because he was very wealthy. And Jesus looked at him and said, how hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of God? Indeed, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for the rich to inherit the kingdom of God. Then those who heard it asked, who then can be saved? And Jesus said, what is impossible with human beings is possible with God. You know, when we think about the acts that we have done and what we've done, Lord, what can I do to inherit or to earn eternal life? He says, man, it's not about that. You think about this. When we talk about eternal life, there were four references to salvation in this passage. The very first one was in verse 18. What must I do to inherit eternal life? That's verse 18. And then in verse 30, it also said, and in the age to come, eternal life. So we reference eternal life twice in reference to salvation. Treasure in heaven is in verse 22. Sell everything you have and you will have treasure in heaven. Salvation. Number 3, enter the kingdom of God. That's verse 24. And he says, Jesus looked at him and said, how hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of God? Third reference to salvation. And verse 29, it says that as well. And then who can be saved? Be saved. Four references to salvation put in different ways. And we have to be aware as we read the scriptures, there's different ways we talk about salvation. And we could just say, how do I inherit eternal life? How do I enter in the kingdom of God? Those are all the same thing. It's talking about our salvation. And he just reminds us that we can't earn it. Our good deeds are not enough. And there's people, if you ask, there's people in the Christian faith, if you ask enough people, and they'll say, yeah, I believe good people will go to heaven because I don't believe that God will send good people to hell. The scripture is very clear. Believe and you will be saved. Ask enough people to think it's okay to be good. And there's a lot of good people. And that's where I hate that we haven't shined the light. We weren't enough light. We didn't take the light to those people. Now, we don't take it. Eric's preached messages before. You don't take a spotlight up to them, go, hey, by the way. And blind them with that. That's not helpful. That's not helpful at all. So Jesus is referencing, I guess, the measure of righteousness with him, talking about the commandments. Hey, here's these commandments. And he says, I've kept all them. And I'm sure he was so proud to jump up and say that. All of these I've kept since I was a boy. I haven't killed anybody. I honored my mother and father. I've done these things. I have not committed adultery. I did not steal or give false testimony. And I'm sure he was pretty proud of himself then. I've kept all these since I was a boy. But this is according, now listen carefully, this is according to the legalistic interpretation of the commandments of the laws. But Jesus always wanted to go a step further. Have you committed adultery? No, I have not. Did you not lust after someone? Oops, that I did. That's the same as adultery, he says. He says, I want to look at the root of what's causing that. What is at the root of murdering someone? It is anger. Let's look at the root. I did not kill them. Did you have anger towards them? Jesus says, I want to get to the root of the issue. Can we dig just a little bit? Can we scratch the surface just a little bit and see what's underneath that stuff? I have not committed adultery. Whoa. Did I not see you looking at her or him? Little twinkle in your eye. That's the same. Are you not holding on to anger towards your brother or sister? That's what leads to murder. Jesus wants to know the root of what's causing our problems. But Jesus had this great idea for the young man. I just need you to do the one thing. Sell it all. This is not a commandment for everyone to go sell everything they had. Now, God may tell someone that, but that isn't for everyone to say, oh, Lordy, God told him to sell it. I have to sell it. I can't have nice stuff. That's not what the Bible says. That's not biblical. And that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that this young man held on to something that he could not let go of. And we're hanging on to things. Every church has people that are hanging on to things that they just can't let go of. That's what this message is today. Letting go while hanging on. We got to be prepared for 2020. We have to be prepared for great things to happen. We have to be prepared for the unknown and bad things to happen. What are bad things? I'm talking about the way we look at it. God says, it's all in my plan. But we have to be prepared for all those. And being fully prepared for all of those things means, again, we may have to let go of something. Give to the poor. Why? Well, then you will have treasure in heaven. And I could just see him sitting at a table talking to this guy going, hey, you came to me and asked me. I gave you the answer. What must I do to inherit eternal life? I've done all these things. Great. Just need you to do this one more. Let it go. What? Hey, August. I love babies in the church. I'm telling you. Oh, what a blessing. I know. You and I, we're going to have a good time afterwards, aren't we? And it makes me feel like I've got a fan. Oh, no, let him go. It may be good. What was I saying? No, I'm just kidding. But we have to let go of these things. I can't expect God to bless me when I'm hanging on to anger. I can't. God tells us, what do you do with anger? What do you do with worry? What do you do with these things? What do you do with disease and illness? After you've prayed for them, he says, cast them down at my feet. I've got it. When you cast it down, do not come back and pick up that stanky bag of stuff. Don't pick it back up. Our comfort zone and our routine is to, well, I got to pick it up and carry it around with me still because that's what I've done for years. No, it's not time for that. this parable is about letting go. What must I do? You came after me, young man. You asked me. And I told you, let it go. When he heard this, he became very sad. And he left. Unchanged. Oh, and when you sell it, give it away. Give away what you've made. Then, as he told the fisherman, then come and follow me. Be my disciple. He couldn't do that. The parable's about letting go. And here it may be about money, sort of. But in reality, it's about letting go of those things that we hang on to. And I don't know what your hurts are. I don't know what your hang-ups are. I don't know what your struggles are. But I know we sang a song that's straight out of the Bible that says He's greater than this. He's greater than our struggles and our issues and the problems that we face. And by the way, this church is behind you. You just let us know. But at times, we have to be prepared. I chased down Eric. I fell at his feet. Ran after him, fell at his feet. Said, Eric, what do I have to do to get through this? Eric says, I just need you to do this one thing. Oh, my, come on. Church, be prepared for the answer. But I guarantee if Eric answers it, if I answer it, it's going to be biblical. It's going to be biblical. And that's what Jesus told him. Man, here's what you need to do. I've come and I've rewritten this way to go to the Father. And this is how you have to do it now. Oh, and for you specifically, I have this way. As the band comes up here, we're going to sing a song about our great God. And I just want to recap real quick that you and I, we must go to the right source. It's not Facebook, by the way. It's Jesus Christ and His Word. We must ask the right questions with pure intentions, as this young man did. He didn't try and trick Jesus. He asked a pure question with good motives. Be ready for a second answer. Jesus said, oh, you've got to follow the commandments. I've done those. Second answer, oh, I need you to do this one thing. And then we must be willing to act on that answer. Oh, that's a stickler. We have to be prepared to act on the answer that He, not our friends, not Facebook, that He gives us. If not, we're all going to turn away and be sad. In 2020, we've got to let go. We've got to let go while holding on. Because I know God has a beautiful ride intended for all of us. And that ride may be, we got to do two complete loops to get to the end of it. And those loops for some of us are a blast. We say, great, let's go through these loops. But for others of us, they just nauseate us. And they make us so sick. We think, God, I can't get off this ride quick enough because I'm about ready to throw up. This sickens me so much. Every now and then, just throw your hands up in the air. Like you just don't care. You just got to throw your hands up. Church. ...2020 is going to be a fantastic year, but I ask you to talk to God. I ask you to listen to God. I ask you to respond to God. That's where we miss our step. I've heard Him speak. Oh, man. He may tell you to come forward today or any other day. He may say, come ask for prayer. He may say, just get up there and pray by yourself. Confess this, do this, whatever. He may say, get up and go talk to someone that you wanted to say hi to or apologize to. Freedom comes in obedience. Man, stand as we prepare to worship this morning. I pray blessings on you this week and in this new year. Happy New Year, Prayer of Faith. Have an amazing week. If you have decisions you want to make or discussions you want to have with Pastor Eric or myself, please see one of us. If you're visiting with us today, I'd like to meet you right down here just to say hello. Have a blessed and amazing week, Prayer of Faith. God bless you.